Our scripture reading today is taken from Matthew 28, verse 10 and verses 18 through 20. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that you go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Well, good afternoon, church family. Happy Sabbath to each of you. Sure is a high Sabbath, isn't it, when you have people coming into the church family, we're having special prayer. You know, that's the work that God asks us to do, is to help Him in His efforts in building His church, but also, too, praying for those that are sick and those that are in need of His special blessing. Today we're going to look at God's purpose for His church. Do you have any idea of what God's plan is for His church? Do you know what God has purposed for His church since day one? Do you realize that from Genesis to Revelation until the second coming of Christ, until we get into heaven and throughout all eternity, God has had His church on planet Earth all the way throughout eternity? God never once has left His church. Never once did God forsake His church. Never once did God say, oh, hey, we don't need a church on planet Earth. Hey, they messed up bad enough. Let them figure it out. God has always led a people to present His truth, to represent Him at whatever age we came into, whether it be from Adam all the way to John in the book of Revelation, all the way until the second coming of Christ. We know that there's a loud cry, God's holy, the three angels' messages, to prepare a people for the soon return of Christ. Amen? God has a plan for His church. Amen? Now, we're going to look at a couple of things here today. I know it's kind of small writing. I'll read it to you here. Acts of the Apostles, page 12. In fact, that's where I got the title, God's Purpose for His Church. But the church is God's appointed agency for the salvation of men. It was organized for what? Service. It was organized for service. And its mission is to carry the gospel to the Elmira, to the world, right? From the beginning, it has been God's plan that through His church shall be reflected to the world His fullness and His sufficiency. Now catch these words. These are very, very powerful words. Strong suggestions telling us how we ought to behave and how what God's intention is for this church. Notice what it is. It has been God's plan from when? The beginning. The beginning. Which was the beginning? God said, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, right? In the beginning, friends. It has been God's plan that through His church shall be reflected to the world His what? His fullness and His what? Sufficiency. In other words, you, the body of Christ, God's church, are to reflect to the world His fullness and His sufficiency. In other words, we have to think of it in this perspective. Is Christ glorified in you? Because, friends, God's church cannot be glorified unless Christ is first glorified in you at home. We don't come to church to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at home. It's when we come together, God can do a greater work for us at home. It starts at home. So is Christ reflected in your life? Do people see Jesus in you? What does your character represent? What is your character like? I had to laugh this morning. Now, she's not here, so I can tell a little story. Michaela. Huh? That's all right. That's fine. I had a good chuckle at this one. Michaela, this morning, brushing her hair, she says, I wish the mirror didn't reflect things backwards. Because when I go to part my hair, I'm thinking on the opposite side. And I had to think, I said, man, I've never heard anybody really complain about what the mirror reflects. But I wonder sometimes if we're not a lot like that in church. You see what I'm saying? I don't like what the church reflects. I don't like what it's really showing me. Or could it be that maybe we're reflecting the wrong image to the world? Not because we're presenting a truth, but because well, we may not be all in the right places at the right time. Well, the fullness of His sufficiency, the members of the church, those whom He has called out of darkness into His marvelous light, are to show forth His glory. The church is the repository of the riches of the grace of Christ, and through the church will eventually be made manifest, even to the principalities and the powers in heavenly places, the final and full display. Now catch this. What does it say there? The final and full display of the love of who? God. What does God want us to reflect into the world? What does He want to demonstrate to the entirety of the world? The fullness of His love for humanity. And He wants to reflect it in His church. In other words, God wants to glorify His church to reveal to the world how much God loves humanity. And I'm telling you, friends, the message that we have throughout the Bible is get into the church. Get in the church. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at the ark, not the Ark of the Covenant, but the ark that Noah built, what was the message? Get in the ark. Get in the ark. God had one ark. One ark. He didn't make two or three or five or six. He made one and He said, get into the ark. Now we go into the New Testament and Paul, he's on a boat. He's on a great ship. And all of a sudden a storm hits it and it starts splinting apart. And people are about ready to jump overboard. And Paul says, no, don't do this. If you jump off the boat, now you got to catch this. The boat's splintered apart. The original is splintered. You follow what I'm saying here? There is a splinter off groups many times coming from the Seventh-day Adventist church. But Paul said, stay on what is left. You see, we don't forsake the original because God has His plan with the original. In fact, Paul said, if you get off, you will die. You stay on, the Lord will see us to the shore. Now, what's the shore we're headed to, friends? Amen. Heavenly Canaan, amen? Now, follow this. He wants to display the love of what? The love of God in our lives. God wants to show the world how God works in you. In other words, is the fullness of God's sufficiency, is the love of God being displayed in your personal life today? Is that happening? You have to talk it out with the Lord. But notice something here, that He wants to reveal to principalities and powers in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but of principalities and great darkness in heavenly places, or wicked spirits in the heavenly places. In other words, God wants to give a display even to the unseen forces that we cannot see. God wants to produce a revelation of His character in His people to a fallen world, but also to the unseen world, which we cannot see with our eyes. Isn't that a miracle? That puts us in a big picture. We are the amphitheater of the universe. Enfeebled. Now, I like this. This is where people kind of get all crazy. Enfeebled and defective as it may appear. Now, notice. Enfeebled and defective as it may appear. It may appear feeble. It may appear defective. It may appear. But notice, the church is the one object. Did you catch that? The one object upon which God bestows in a special sense His supreme regard. I don't care how bad the church gets, God has a supreme regard for His church. Amen? God will see His church through until the end of time. Now, there may be a shaking. The true people will come in and the false ones will be shaken out. But God will have His church on planet Earth till the day He comes. Amen? God bestows in a special sense His supreme regard. It is the theater of His grace in which He delights. Now notice this. Read this when you get a chance. In which He delights to reveal. Catch this. To reveal His what? Power. Power. Now, let's look at this in an object lesson here. When God created the heavens and the earth, what did that reveal? When God said, let there be light, what happened? There was light. Yes, it's power. God's power, you see. And you see, God wants to demonstrate His power in your life and in others to transform what? Heart. You see, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it, right? The heart is desperately wicked. In other words, its propensity is to sin and nothing but. In fact, in Romans chapter, 7, yes, thank you. Paul stated, you know, that what I don't want to do, that what I hate, I end up doing, and so forth. In other words, the sinful nature is prone to evil, to wickedness. There is only a solution, one solution only, and that is Christ, who is able to transform that heart. And you see, what God wants to do for you and I, and this church, and this body of people here, He wants to transform hearts. He wants to reveal His power in your life so that the world outside can say, I want what you have. Is the power of God being displayed in your life? Is your heart transformed? Is your heart renewed in the Spirit of Jesus? What is the purpose for God's church? Number one, it's to glorify God or to glorify Jesus. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to look at verse 18. Matthew chapter 16, looking at verse 18. Now notice what Jesus says here. Matthew 16, verse 18. Jesus says, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, some would like to say that, see, right there, God established His church with Peter. However, Jesus was making a contrast. He's saying, Peter, you are nothing but a little pebble. In fact, that's what His name is, just a little pebble, a little stone. But upon me, Jesus, the rock, I will build my church. In other words, from the onset, when Christ established the new church, the New Testament church, He wanted to establish the foundation of Christ and Christ alone. Notice what 1 Corinthians 2:2 says. What is the purpose? He says, "I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul was making it very clear the purpose of the church is to glorify Jesus. And the foundation by which we stand is Christ and Christ alone. We must glorify Jesus in the church. After all, Ephesians 5:23 tells us that Christ is the head of the church. He is the head of the church. And it is amazing with that testimony in Acts of the Apostles. It's God's purpose to glorify Himself through you, human agents, to show the full sufficiency of God's love. In other words, when we glorify Christ, we glorify God the Father. And when we glorify God the Father, God can give us His Spirit. And so when He gives us His Spirit, He can reveal His character to the world because hearts are transformed inside. In other words, friends, we must glorify Christ in our church. Now, I want us to be careful because I'm not excluding sound doctrine. After all, Jesus says very clearly, He says, this gospel must be preached. Right? So the gospel entails the truths by which Jesus is established in His church. Those of Book of Revelation, those of the Book of Daniel, the doctrines and so forth, the state of the dead, what happens when you die and when Jesus comes again. Those are gospel truths that must be presented in these latter times. But notice, God has a special intention for His church. Number one, to glorify God, to glorify Christ. Number two, it should be called a house of prayer. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. Well, we can start with verse 12. "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast all them out that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them, and sold doves. And He said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called" what? "A house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves." In other words, friends, the establishment of God's church is worship and prayer and dedication to God. And do I dare say, when we come into our church sanctuary or into the services each and every week, and we bring with us the cares of our last week or the chores of what we have to do tomorrow, are we not selling wares in God's church? Be careful what you bring in the church. Oh, we may not sell things. We may not do things like the world. But could it be that we bring with us things that should be on the outside and we bring them in our heart? Jesus says, turn those things over and create in me a new heart. And my house is a house of prayer. You notice Jesus here takes to Him something that is powerful, and that is the Old Testament. God said Himself, my house is a house of prayer. Jesus takes on Himself the prerogatives of God because He is God. My house, He says, will be a house of prayer. I wonder how many of us come to church and we expect the outpouring of God's Spirit, we expect the great blessing, but all week we neglect our devotional time with Him. We cannot come into the house of prayer to pray with God's church and His people unless we are personally devoting it throughout the rest of the week. Well, Isaiah 56, verse 7, "Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house, make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people." You notice Jesus wants to gather us in. He's calling us in. But notice He asks of us one thing, burnt offerings and sacrifices. When we bring to the altar our gifts, God can accept our prayers. We don't go to God seeking just for Him that He's some kind of genie that pops out of a lamp. We go to Him praising Him with joyful hearts and satisfaction that He is our God that can take care of us. And when we acknowledge that, we can supplement Him or seek Him and ask the desires of our heart. But we must acknowledge Him as our God. Be careful, friends, when you go to God in prayer, that you don't just take with you your wish list, but go to Him acknowledging Him as God and Savior. Notice it says here, make them joyful in my house. Friends, I want to reiterate and reiterate and reiterate again. Is there a smile on your face when you come to church? You see what I'm saying? When we worship God, that is the most joyful experience that any human being can have. Worship and connection with Christ. You see, people want to see a smile on your face. So by all means, smile now and then. Let people know that you're happy. You see? Because God can give us victory. Well, so number two, God says His house will be a house of prayer. Number three, it's for the salvation of souls or witnessing. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. The Bible says, Acts chapter 2, yes, verse 47. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. "Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be" what? Saved. Who added to the church? Elder so-and-so? Pastor so-and-so? Who added to the church? God did. The Lord did. And you see, friends, I wonder sometimes if our evangelism is not effectual because we don't give glory due to where glory is needed. In other words, when something happens and people come in, do we forget to honor God for the increase? Or could it be that when we witness to somebody or share the testimony of our lives or witness to other people about some certain gospel truth, do we forget to praise God for the opportunity? You see, we pray for all the labor that we have to put into it, but many times we forget to pray to thank Him for the blessings that He has given us. And I'm not talking about just at the dinner table going, "Lord, thank You for this food we're about to eat. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You gave me the opportunity to share my faith with such and such a person today." You see, it is God who adds to the church. We are only His instruments, His funnel, if you will, to be directed to lead people to the foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. We are always to point people to Christ, point people to Jesus, point people to Jesus. Friends, if we are not doing that, we are not doing our jobs. God asked us, He calls upon us to be a witnesses. Isaiah 43, 10 and 12, one of my favorite Bible passages. He says, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved and have showed that when there was no strange God among you, therefore you are my witnesses, says" who? Says the Lord. You are my what? You are my witnesses. You ever been an eyewitness to anything? When I worked at the Loma Linda Market in California, when I was 14 years old, I was pushing carts in. And all of a sudden, this guy came out of the corner. This lady was backing out of a parking lot, or out of a parking spot. And a fellow pulled around the corner. He at least was going 20, 25 miles an hour. I don't know what possessed him to drive so fast in a parking lot. But he came and he didn't have no time to slam on his brakes. He hit the lady smack dab right in the back. And I witnessed the whole thing. So I pushed my carts in and so forth. The police came. I didn't really have much say in there. I guess somebody asked me if I had seen. I said yes. Well, about a week later, I got a call from a lawyer. And guess what she asked me? Did you see what happened in the parking lot? Because this guy's saying that she backed into him. And I said, no, that's not how it was. He was going at least, 20, 25 miles an hour in the parking lot. And he smacked right in the back of her. And she said, thank you very much. Thank you for your testimony and your witness. You see, friends, a witness is somebody who is personally seen with their own two eyes. God says, you are my witnesses. Have you seen God personally with your two eyes? Well, hey, you may not have seen His figure, but have you seen Him work in your life? Have you seen Him make changes in your life? You see, when we see those things, God says, you are my witnesses. And Jesus is asking us to not, He's not asking, He's requesting us, He's telling us to go out and to tell other people what I have done for you so that others can believe on my name as well. You see, we have eye encounters with God, not just a head knowledge of God. God is asking us to have an encounter with Him. Seek Him while He may be found. Search Him out, He says. We are to find God. Are you daily seeking for God? Are you daily experiencing God? Do you see God working in your life? Is He present in your life today? If He is not, question your Christianity. In other words, well, let's put it this way. If you are not, question your religion. Because if it's not working, then your religion's wrong. You must have Jesus working in the life. That's when true religion comes into play. You are my witnesses, says the Lord. Point number, I lost track, 4 I think it is. Make disciples. Our scripture reading today, Matthew chapter 28. This is our commission that God gave to the early church. Jesus gave to the early church. Go, He says. Go. Matthew 28, last few verses there. Matthew 28, verse 10. And then 18 and onward. Jesus said, be not afraid. Go, He says, tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall what? See me. You see what it is? You go, they will see. That's the experience we are to have. We go, they will see. We go, they will see. You see? People need today a witness. They need an encounter with God. It may not always be lightning bolts, but your witness, He says, through you they shall see me. And then He goes on to say, all power is given me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And the promise is to each and every single one of us, be not afraid. Why? Because He will be with us until the end of what? The world. He will be with us. Go, He says. Why? Because He, go, be not afraid, He will be with us. Don't be afraid when you encounter a person that needs to hear the message. Go. The church is the ground of truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul stated, but if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. I like this a little bit because we ought to learn how to behave in the house of God. Amen. That's an educated process. Learn how to behave in God's church, right? But He goes on to say, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of all truth. What is it? Notice here. I know we've read this before, but He says the pillar. But yet He says, which is the church of the living God. We have a church that is supposed to be alive because we serve a risen Savior, a living God. In other words, the church is to be a living agent. It's to be a living organism by which God can create His Spirit within His people, but also to develop His character and His image may be seen in the world abroad. But notice, it's a living church. The pillar, a pillar, what is a pillar? Something that holds another thing up. And the ground of the truth. In other words, God has one pillar, His church. And that church is to establish truth in this dying world. And praise God, I don't know, maybe I'm a little biased, but praise God for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Praise God for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. because He has always had a people to present His truth to the world. Always. But it's not good enough just to be in the church. We must be doing something in the church. I don't know, I like kind of like roller coaster rides. Forgive me, but the neat thing is, boy, they strap you in, they buckle you down, and sometimes you can't even move, you know. They don't want you to fall out. And sometimes that's it kind of fills with church, you know. Maybe we're just kind of buckled in and strapped in and we're in for the ride. We don't have any joy in it. We can either sleep on the roller coaster or we can go, wow, this is fun, do it again. What is your experience in church? What is it like? It's a living church. It's a living organism. Friends, if you are dead, you cannot be alive. And if you're alive, you cannot be dead. And if you're alive, that means God is doing something in your life. Let God have His work in your life. Amen? Let God have His work in your life so that His church can be alive. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, profitable for doctrine and, you know, profitable for reproof. Oh, I forgot. Let's go there. It just slipped my mind. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. The Word of God is profitable for... Help me out here.
Teaching.
Teaching. Reproof. Correcting. Training in righteousness. Doesn't it say something about thoroughly furnished unto all good works? Is that it? All right, there it is. You know, this one rattles off the end of my tongue so many times, and then when I think about it, it's not there. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, God's church is a pillar of truth. And what is its pillar? It's the Word of God, friends. We stand on the Word of God and we lift up Jesus. Jesus is the foundation of His church, His truth. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another as the much more as you see what? The day approaching. In other words, as the more and more we see the day approaching, what day? Thursday? Payday? What is it? The second coming of Christ. As we see that day approaching, what are we supposed to be doing? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another. In other words, the closer we see the day approaching, the more we are to be encouraging and exhorting each other, lifting each other up, praying for each other. Hey, brother, sister, are you an overcomer today? Are you victorious in your life? If not, let me pray for you. You see, friends, we are a body to encourage each other, to lift each other up. Oh, he's a sinner. Let's walk around him. No, we are to bring them into the fold of Christ. Bring them into the fellowship of His church. Pray for one another. Lift each other up. Why? Because all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And friends, we can be a help to each other. As the day is closing, we can be a source of encouragement and hope. What is God's purpose for His church? Number one, say it with me. To what? Glorify Him. Number two, house of prayer. Number three, salvation of souls or witnessing. Number four, making disciples. Number five, the ground of truth. Number six, for fellowship. What's that? Leave it? Sorry, it's gone. There you go. I'm just teasing with her. Friends, is your church just lacking in any of these areas? Is your church lacking in any of these areas? Do I dare say that we may need to pray and encourage and be a part of the establishment of fixing the problem, not being the problem? And friends, could it be that some of these areas are lacking in your personal life at home, your personal growth time? If so, is there some fixing and tweaking that needs to take place at home? You see, friends, we cease to be a church when we're not a church outside of the church, if that makes any sense. If we are not a church in our home, we can't be a church in the sanctuary. We must have these attributes, these characteristics qualified in our lives in the home before we can come to the church. God will not do for His church what His people are not doing at home. We must glorify God. We must be a house of prayer. We must be winning souls, witnessing for Christ. We must be making disciples, teaching others. We must be presenting the truth. Scarcely do we see a person today standing up for truth, right and wrong. And we're to fellowship with one another. Make sure you embrace each other. Make sure you hug each other. Make sure you love each other. Make sure you exhort each other. Make sure you establish each other. Let's take care of one another. After all, we're brothers and sisters. Amen?
Amen.
Take care of each other.
Yeah.
Why? Because Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
Jesus is coming soon.
Yeah.
Friends, will you be ready for the soon coming of Jesus Christ? Will you do within all your power and reason to submit and commit your life to Christ so that you can be an asset, His asset to His church, an asset for His church, allow Him to do in you what you cannot do for yourselves, to work in you and through you so that Christ can be glorified, so God can be glorified in His church. We want others to see Jesus. We want others to see Christ in me. Is that happening in your life? Are you allowing it to happen in your life? I ask of you today, I appeal to you today, let God have His work. And as we stand and sing our closing hymn today, number 367, make that a prayer as you sing. Lord, this isn't the song, but now I may confuse you a little bit. But take my life, Lord. Let it be. Lord, do Your will within me. Have Your work within me. Consecrate me today. As you sing this song, may it be a prayer to God. Heavenly Father, You have blessed us with so many gifts. You have given to us the hope of salvation, the hope of eternal life. Jesus, You died on the cross of salvation so that all can come to You. And You promise those that confess their sins, they will be forgiven. They will be cleansed. You can wash us, Lord, with the blood. You can cleanse us, Lord, from all unrighteousness. Do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Strengthen us, Lord, where we are weak. Draw us to the foot of the cross. Draw us to You so that we can be witnesses, have an eye encounter, because there is a world around us dying for lack of knowledge. May we be, Lord, those people. May we reflect the fullness of Your love. May we reflect the full sufficiency of Your character, that You are able to do far and beyond what we can imagine or possibly think. Do for us, Lord, what we cannot do for ourselves, so that others can see the power of God in our lives, so that they will want what we have. Not to glorify ourselves, but Jesus, so that You can truly be glorified in Your church. Change our hearts, Lord. Renew us. Give us a new life. We know that all these things You are able to do. So we humbly ask. We're not twisting Your arm. We're not forcing You. We cannot do those things, but we humbly ask, seeking Your face today, may we have the renewed heart. May we have a new life. May we have the joy that comes from serving You. And today, Lord, for those people in this congregation that are struggling, that are suffering, that are under hardships and burdens, I pray that You would bless them, that You would show them how much You care for them, that You would reveal Your love to them. Soften their hearts. May each one of us leave this congregation today knowing fully that we have been in Your presence. And may we bring each service, may we bring a blessing of Your Spirit to the congregation. Help us, Lord, not to be the negativity, but to be the outpouring, the utilization of Your Spirit. May we be that instrument. May we not hinder the work that You want to accomplish in the Elmira Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is my prayer this hour that each one of us will be drawn to Your side. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.